Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Could have been an interesting start to the program. I always like to provide this peek into the real world behind this show. About 3 minutes ago, I was actually locked out of this floor. Not a good move when you're about to start a live radio show. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Bob Salter. You know, what it does, though, is it gets the adrenaline going for the start of the show. After all, I have said the most important thing about this program over the years of doing it, and this is year 23 of doing this show. The most important thing about the show is the fact that I don't get bored while doing it or listening to it. I want to have a good time. I also want to bring you some information, bring you some great guests, and we have a doozy of a discussion to start our program this morning. We go with an organization that we've never talked about before on this program, but has quite the background. The organization goes by the acronym ZAKA, Z-A-K-A. And David Rose, who is International Director for ZAKA, is joining us on our program. He's going to share an awful lot with us over the course of this hour. David, first of all, good morning. Welcome to our program on The Fan. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well. No, at least now that I'm back in the in the building here I'm doing well. I guess let's begin with the background here. ZAKA, how do you explain what ZAKA is?
ZAKA is a unique organization in Israel and worldwide using capabilities of volunteers to help out in any type of search and rescue that's needed. What we deal with sometimes in Israel, unfortunately, is a terror attack. Take it as a natural disaster, if it's an earthquake, or a tsunami, any type of disaster that's needed to help the police services, the emergency services. We have volunteers fully trained to help out in any type of disaster. And what we bring to the table is basically our knowledge, our abilities, and have volunteers that are willing to drop anything at any given moment and just to rush into a scene and help out.
Okay, how did Zaka start?
It's an interesting thing. A couple of years ago, like 27 years ago, there was a terror attack that took place in Israel where a terrorist jumped on a bus driver and forced the bus off the main road going up to Jerusalem. And during that attack, 16-17 people were killed. And the founder of the organization, his name is Yehuda Meshi Zahav, heard what's going on. He heard it on the radio, and he decided, you know what, let's go and try and help out. So he came down with a few of his friends and tried to help in rescuing and recovering the bodies at the time. Looking back, he said, most probably I was disturbing the police service, disturbing the fire department. But then he realized that at the end of the day, we have abilities as civilians to help out, to help the police, help the fire department. And he decided to take his friends and to put them through different trainings, training them to be EMTs, training to be working with the police, and came to a situation that today we have over 3,000 volunteers around the country in Israel on call 24/7. They can respond to any type of incident in Israel. And we have around the world, we have a couple of hundred volunteers also around the world that, again, can help out in any type of situation, just dropping what they're doing. It could be a lawyer, it could be a guy working in the bank, whatever it is. And that person has abilities and training to go out and help out. And that's what's special about the Zaka. It's all done on a volunteer basis. No one gets paid for this kind of work. There's office people that get paid for it, but like the volunteers are doing it from the pure reason of how can I help out my community? What can I do as an individual and be part of something to help out my fellow neighbor or someone now in the community or in the city? And we have communication systems like walkie-talkies and beepers and dispatching center and all that. And we can send out a call. If a call comes in to us, we can send it out. If either police sends us a call or the fire department sends us a call, the Israeli army sends us a call, or we get a call from overseas, then we have a team that's in ready to respond and help out.
A couple of questions naturally come to mind. One of them, I'm assuming some of the people who are listening to us will wonder this. How did you first get involved with Zaka?
So I live in Israel. I am a volunteer close to 12 years. I go out over here locally in my community. If a call will come in, if it's a car accident or someone, I'm a trained EMT, I'm able to help out in any type of situation. If it's a child choking at home or heart attack, whatever it be, we have the ability. I can go out. I myself, being at a major event in Israel, one of the places I was in October 15, I was in a shooting incident that took place in Jerusalem on the bus when three civilians were killed by terrorists. And I came over there, one of the first people to respond, helping out, trying to save some lives. And unfortunately, as I said, three people were killed and had to work and do, you know, the work. The other work that Zaka does is recovery work, making sure that the person that was killed or did not make it through the situation will be treated in the most respectful way. And dealing with that person, making sure that he is brought for a full burial. And there's two aspects to that, in a way. One is the person himself, in a Jewish belief, we and many other religions believe that the body should come in the whole to burial. But over the years, and this is why I saw myself in helping out, it's so much more of a comfort to the family. For the family of a victim to know that there was a someone that cared for his loved one. It wasn't just treated as a sack of potatoes. Just came, picked up the body and threw it in the back of a truck. Mm-hmm. Someone was there dealing and making sure they'd been done in a respectful way. And part of Zaka, the reason why we started all this was it comes from a Jewish religious belief of, as we all believe, that God created man in image of God. So when I'm treating a human being, I don't care what he is, he's a Christian, Jewish, Muslim, I'm treating a person who's created in image of God. So I'm giving him respect for who he is. And families that know that and see that, And I've been to scenarios where you have fire, people burnt, and whatever it is. And knowing that thing is giving a comfort, it's psychologically effect on the family. They have a closure, that they can go to a grave, they can go to a place, and they can have a closure with themselves, knowing that everything was, their loved one was killed, he was brought properly to a burial, and that's what we're here for, helping those people out. And so it's maybe respecting the dead, but honoring people, the life families, and giving them comfort is more, that's the most important thing about Dhaka.
The training that's involved for the people who are volunteers, I mean, you mentioned your background as being trained as an EMT, but, you know, for a lot of the people that you mentioned, how do they get trained?
So the uniqueness about Dhaka, and this is a uniqueness by the way of Israel, is learning how or studying how to work with police forces in Israel and around the world. Because when you come to a crime scene, end of the day, the police are, they have what they need to do in order to, you know, check out the scene and what they need to do for forensics to, if they have to do the checking up. So we teach our volunteers is the basic things, what to do when you in the scene of a disaster. When you come there, what can you do in order to help out till the police forces come? You know, if God forbid something happens in the building where you're living in or where you're working and someone is trapped or someone is going through some kind of like is a fire that took place in the building or a gas explosion, any domestic kind of incident like that, we teach our volunteers how to rescue a person. Just want to give you an example. In Haiti, we went over there. We have an international unit that goes around the world. In the earthquake that took place in 2010, more people were saved by their own neighbors pulling people out of the rubble, out of the collapsed buildings, than all the teams that came around the world. Like the teams that came around the world that helped out, the search and rescue teams that came like a couple of days after, so a week after it took place, the earthquake, they saved maybe 1,000 people. The local population helping one another out, they saved close to 50,000 people. So if we are able to teach simple methods of what to do when that disaster takes place, we can save lives. That's what we're teaching them. We have a 5-day training that we do. And during that training, we teach basic CPR, basic what to do, how to bandage people, fractures, etc. What to do if you need to pick up, move stuff around. You have each one of us, yourself, you have a car. In your car, you have a car jack, right? You can use that jack to pick up a concrete wall. You can use that and pull someone out there. His leg is trapped. Do simple things that we can teach people, and that's what we do in those 5 days. We teach them what to do in the first couple of minutes, what to do in CPR, bandaging, recovering work, search and rescue, giving intelligence over. The police will show up, the fire department show up, if you know already, to give a bit more of a understanding who was in the building, who was in your office, who was in the house. All that information you can give over to the professional teams, that we're able to save a person's life. And that's what it's all about. It's about time, how fast can you get there, do something on the ground, and help out. And those 5 days give all this basically a very basic training that's, you can make a big difference. A person can make a big difference in his own community.
Very interesting discussion that we're having on our program on The Fan this Sunday morning. David Rose, who is International Director of Dhaka, Z-A-K-A, is joining us in this hour of our program and talking with us about the work of Dhaka. We've got a lot more to share. I'm also talking about Dhaka coming to America, exactly what that will mean. And we get into a lot more areas in discussion over the course of this hour. And we'll also give you some information for those of you who may want to look at more information on Dhaka than we are able to share this Sunday morning. It is Sunday morning on The Fan. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter. We're in discussion with David Rose on our program. David is International Director of Dhaka, Z-A-K-A, and is talking with us about Dhaka on our program on The Fan and sharing some information with us. We provide a little bit of background on the organization. David talked a little bit about this training program for volunteers as well. One of the things we haven't done, David, and I'd like to do this at this point, and we'll do it again before we are done in our discussion with you. What's the online resource for people who want to learn more about Zaka? How can they do that?
First of all, you can go to our website. The best way to get information is Zaka. That's ZAKA.US. That's our website. All the information about how, if you like to become a volunteer, you can go online over there and find out the information about the organization. If you like to donate to the organization, since Zaka is a volunteer organization, we rely a lot upon donations from around the world, from governments, from NGOs to help us out. Interesting thing that Zaka does is the whole international aspect of our work, going out. Even though we're based in Israel, but we responded around the world to various incidents. If it's an earthquake that took place in Haiti, like we spoke about before, even locally, even in the U.S., we responded in Hurricane Katrina in 2005, when we had a team over there that came out to help out. So it's work that's not just limited to Israel. It's around anywhere in the world that we can help out. Zaka is ready to go out to help.
Okay, so it's Zaka.us, and we'll repeat that address before we are done in our discussion with you. The idea of Zaka coming to the U.S., you know, you mentioned about helping out with Hurricane Katrina, but what can Zaka do for America and specifically for New York City?
I think that Zaka has a lot to bring to the table. First of all, we're not coming here to invent the wheel. America has a lot of capabilities, and it was talking about Israel, small country we are compared to America. But one thing is that we have is a lot of knowledge that we picked up over the years. If it's domestic in the U.S., in Israel that we picked up, or have to go into a event scene around the world that we can come and help out. And I think that's what Zaka has to bring to the table in the U.S., is our experience and knowledge. And another thing that we have is teaching the population. Yeah, you have every country has a police force and has a fire department and he has the army that can help out. But you still need the locals. You still need the people from the community to help out. And if we are able to train communities and take people, civilians, and give them the knowledge like we spoke about before, the training that we do, they can be a tremendous help for the services, emergency services. If, God forbid, a Sandy will take place again, or like a Katrina, anything like that, if you have volunteers, if you have civilians in the neighborhood that they are known to be people that can respond, that could be a difference of certain people making it living, saving lives, and helping to rescue people from the disaster. That's what Zaka is all about, taking volunteers from the community, training them, and helping them, make them familiar with the police forces and the emergency services in the community, and they're responding as a unit, part of those teams. That's the uniqueness of Zaka.
Now, when we talk about Zaka and Zaka's work, what do you feel, or what kind of companies in New York do you feel would benefit from the kind of training that, you know, you spoke about earlier and is encompassed in this 5-day program that volunteers undergo?
First of all, my focus would be to go into communities. We always believe the community is an unbelievable resource and a way of a power to help out. So if I'll go into communities, like go into the local churches, I'll train. If I'll go into the community centers, even go into companies like workplaces and offer them our service. I'll do it through the local council or the city, giving them that information we have. It's a 5-day training that we built especially for people that they're going to work. So we take a Sunday where most people are off from Sunday work, and then we continue the training in the evenings with a drill exercise at the end of the training. And it's, again, it's like going to the local council, city, wherever it is. All we need is like 20 or 30 people, up to 50 people. We can train them. And those people could be the responders, first responders on the ground, if God forbid something happens.
And when we're talking about, you know, the kind of training that is involved, it's also interesting because the Zaka International Rescue Unit volunteers from this country, Israel, Mexico, and South Africa are taking part in some interesting drills that are taking place in Indiana. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so this year, the National Guard, the U.S. National Guard, they had a special scenario. Every 2 years, we come to the States and we train with the U.S. National Guard on different scenarios. This year, they took a hotel that was being demolished, and they basically used it as a scenario for trying to rescue people from those from a building like that. The whole building collapsed. An earthquake took place. And now we have to come and help out. So Zaka bought this time from Israel. And like you said, from that, we have a team in South Africa. We have a team in Mexico. They came and helped out the local, working shoulder by shoulder with the local, with the National Guard, of the, showing the abilities that we have, getting knowledge from them. It's all about how much knowledge we can share with one another, how much we can help out, bringing to the table what we have on Zaka, using the American Army has a tremendous experience and a lot of knowledge and equipment that we don't have, and collaborating forces and helping one another out. And that's the big thing about this training that we did. It was like a 5-day training that took place in Indiana, where from throughout the day and night, we were training on recovery work of if someone was killed, how we get his body out. If someone is injured, how do we rescue him out? Learning about safety of the teams before you go in, you have to make sure you yourself are safe, not risking your own life to save other people. All this knowledge of collaboration of information is very important in the type of work that we do, and we can bring over to what we know and get from Americans what you know.
When you talk about the work of the volunteers and the work of Zaka, one of the areas that you mentioned is this area of search and rescue. And, you know, as you say that, a lot of us lay people may grimace and think, that's got to be awfully tough. I mean, how do volunteers handle that?
First of all, we do, I mean, when you come into search for a missing person, and it's very difficult. First of all, you have to have the intelligence. You have to know where certain people were. And we have, within Zaka, for example, we have a dog unit, a canine unit, that, again, volunteers are coming and they have dog training, and they come searching for missing people. And I give an example. In Nepal, there was took place an earthquake close to 2 years ago. And there was one, we came from Israel, we were searching with different people, and one of the missions was to find a missing, it was an Israeli soldier, veteran, that went on a trek over there in Nepal. And most of the chances are we're not going to find him alive. But the mission was, is a soldier that risked his own life for the state of Israel, and we felt it's our mission to try and bring him back alive, try and bring him back to his family. And after a week, we found his body in the ravine over there. And you're standing in front of the father, telling him, "What we found is the body of your son." But that moment when he's thanking you, just the tears that he has in his eyes, Father Patrick, saying to us, "Thank you." What we're saying, thank you. We didn't find him alive. We found his a body, right? We know that everything that we put in, the hours and nights not sleeping and just trying to figure out where he was worth every moment for that moment that we were there with the father. I mean, the same thing happened in the tsunami in Thailand when we had to search for missing people over there. Again, it's the scene that you see that most people are running away from those scenes. You do not want to see those images, and you naturally your instinct is to get out of here, and us are trained to go into it. But we do have a lot of psychological help also. We have, after every major incident event, we have a debriefing with social workers and psychologists and psychiatrists to making sure that there's no trauma done to us. And there are cases where we have to tell the volunteers, take a break, you know, you should don't come to the next incidents, because it does take some kind of impact on the person. Yet studies did show, when the professional studies were done on Zarco volunteers, that 3% of our volunteers suffer from post-trauma. That's a very low number compared to the regular population. In a way, we are immune to those scenes, and we see what we see when we work on the scene doing what we have to do as a professional level. And then afterwards, we deal with it. Like I mentioned, the work sessions that we have that give us that ability to go back and continue doing our work, because we have a mission of here to help people out.
Is it adrenaline? Does the adrenaline kick in?
Adrenaline kick in, the mission that we feel, this is something that right now, this is our mission. We're focusing on what we have to do. And like, when you come to a scene and what you're seeing over there, you don't really fully take into yourself all the images. You're working to see, have a person have to save his life, have a person that have to recover his body. That's what you see. You're not going to all the, you know, impacts of it. Afterwards, yes, you need to sit down and you have to figure out, and that's very important to do that, to talk it out. Because if volunteers keep it inside them and don't talk about it, it can be a very big damage done to the person. And that's what we have to have these work sessions, that make sure you talk about it. The main thing is talking, sharing your feelings, sharing what you saw. And we have this every couple of months. We get all together, sit around in different work groups, talk, just say, you came, what did you see? Well, how did you get the call? When you got to the call, what were you doing? All that stuff helps them to build up like a profile. And then they can come to us, the professional workers, and say to us, so-and-so needs help. This guy, talk to him again. He needs some kind of special help. And that's what we know in the organization. We know how to deal with these people. Those individual volunteers need help.
It's interesting, too. You mentioned a couple of moments ago about the fact that there's a canine unit, but that's really only one of the special units of Zarco, correct?
Yeah, so within Zarco, it's amazing. Like, you start off with one idea of helping out, and you know, like I mentioned, coming to that terror scene that over 27 years ago. But throughout the years, people come to us with ideas and say, you know, we can help out. So, for example, we have a divers unit. We have over 300 professional divers. Some of them were served in the Israeli army. And they say, you know, we are able to dive. If there's anyone you have to search for a missing person, we can help you dive and search for them. So today in Israel, we have there's divers, over 300 divers. Within 40 minutes of a call coming into us, any part of Israel, we can have a team in the water already searching for that missing person. That's an amazing number. 40 minutes, and we can have a team, whatever the equipment they need, in the water. Of course, you have the Coast Guard and all that, they can help out. The idea of Zarco is always, how do we bring extra people to help out? You know, the police can do X. If we bring in double the forces, more people searching, more chances of finding that person alive. So we have, like, the divers unit, you have a dog unit. We have people that are using jeeps and ATVs to searching for people missing in the desert if they went for on a hike and they didn't come back. We have that kind of abilities. We even use now drones. We have drones helping us to search for people from above, if it's in the water or it's in a out in the open fields. We can have people with drones looking and searching. All these things are done, again, using the volunteer civilians that want to come and say, how can I be part of Zarco? How can I help out my own community? And Zarco is a platform for them to come and be part of something amazing.
David Rose, who is International Director of Zarco, is our guest this hour of our program on The Fan this Sunday morning. And it is Mother's Day morning on The Fan. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter, and happy Mother's Day to the moms out there. We are in discussion with David Rose this hour of our program. He is International Director of Zarco, Z-A-K-A. and has shared an awful lot with us thus far in our discussion. We're going to be talking about more things with him. If you want to join us in our discussion, you can toll free at WFAN at 877-337-6666. That's our number at the Fan. One of the thoughts I had, David, too, is going into this area of, you know, you talk about establishing partnerships. And I guess, in a way, Zaka is looking to establish more partnerships. Is that a difficult thing to get established with governmental agencies?
In a way, yes, because sometimes governmental officials, like, they are scared in a way. Like, how do I take a civilian and allow him to work in these kind of situations? And once they get familiar and see the abilities of ours and they see that it's possible to work, it's possible to see how a volunteer you can take and make him to be a professional helper, responder, that is something that resources, like I said, from the community can help out the police, help out any service that the government is providing, understanding that there are extra people out there to help you out. If it's someone you need to search for missing person or in a situation, enough, don't just rely on the fire department and the police. You have more people within the community that can come out and help you. Why not use them? Why not take them and give them some knowledge and abilities, give them some simple tools and training that we can give them? And those people can be your best soldiers on ground. If God forbid something happens, they're the first one that can respond within the community until that first responder will come from the fire department. You already have someone in the community there responding and helping you out, reporting, telling you what's going on. And that's something that we are trying, and we're going to hopefully be successful bringing over to the states, bringing that information over.
Now, is there any other either governmental agency or a company that has a similar training program to what you mentioned for the volunteers that Zaka has?
Our training is unique in a way. I mean, this Trestle Day, the training that we do was recognized by the United Nations. Zaka is the NGO that was recognized by the UN to help out in the population and giving this kind of training. So we're kind of touching on every kind of aspect of what you can do, like I explained, the first couple of minutes or hours of a disaster. And that's the uniqueness about Zaka. We're not going to give a person our training. He's not going to be a full EMT. He's not going to be a full fighter. But yes, he has those little information that we're giving him, the opportunity to help him out. That's what's unique about this training. Giving in over those 5 days, the little tips and information and classes that we bring over from professional people, teaching them what to do and how to help. And that's unique about the training that we don't think other agencies do or offer. They can each one give certain elements, but we're giving is a comprehensive program touching on all elements of what we call light rescue and search.
I'm tempted to ask you a question I've been thinking about the entire time that we've been talking, and I was thinking about this in preparing for the interview earlier this morning. In the face of disaster or a catastrophic event, and, you know, I've said this before, you know, physically we're sitting in lower Manhattan in the building where we are in the studio. We're not that far from ground zero. It's a natural thought, ties back to 9/11. And I often think about that day, the days after that, the attitude of people in this country at that time, and also how things have changed since September 11th, 2001 in this country and in the world. And the reason why I ask you this question is, in the face of disaster or a catastrophic event, is there, from your perspective, advice that you could give us that may be helpful for people experiencing something like that?
It's a difficult question. I mean, who are asked to give us advice and to deal with, you know, the advice that we can give is if you have the ability to help your fellow friend, or if it's a person at work, your neighbor, and you can get yourself involved in something and helping other people, you can make a tremendous difference. And we all saw the stories and we saw the images of people helping out. But if we are able to give them more information, more stuff to do, could be we'll save even more lives. You never know what will happen. But I think it's the important thing is, again, every person is able to help out. And even if you think that, who am I? Physically I can't do it, or mentally I can't do it. There's certain things that a person can do that it can make a difference and it can help save a life. And that's what we need to think. How can we help one another out? End of the day, we're all in the same boat together. If a disaster hits, it doesn't make a difference your color, your race, your sex. We're all in the same boat. And this is what Zaka is about. Zaka, the faces of Zaka, although it's set up by in Israelis and then Jewish, whatever. In Zaka today, we have Muslims that volunteer by us, Christian, Jews, Druze, Bedouin. All these people sit together around the table and to think together, how can we help one another out? And that's what we need to think. We're all together today. And if terror attack hits, like I said before, it hits everyone. So let's sometimes, you know, we have stereotypes between one another. Let's try and break those barriers and let's work together to combat and to get this done. If God forbid something happens, we can help one another out.
You know, one of the things I've talked about before on this program, and it's something that I do, and again, this is a reflection of the age in which we live, is I believe very much in this idea of having a plan in the event of an emergency or catastrophic event. And part of my plan is to live, if possible, and the biggest plan is getting safely out of this building. And I've said this before, and some of my colleagues here think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Because I practice this once a month, leaving the building. And I have a certain time limit that I keep myself to. From this building, there are basically, as I understand, 6 different ways to exit here and to get down to the street level. I use one of 2 specific ways to get out, figuring that that's likely would be the scenario if power was out, elevators were not available, etc. And the idea, the thought is to know how to do it, because if something happens, your first thought is going to be, oh my God, how do I get out of here? And a lot of people at that time, David, probably then start to panic because they've never, never really given it thought.
Correct. Taking yourself as an example, perfect example, if you know the ways of getting out of the building, right? So first of all, you can help other people
right.
to go down, out. And more than that, when the fire department comes or the emergency service come in, you are able to guide them and tell them, you know, this is the best way of getting in, this is the best way of getting out. All that stuff is, you're the best intelligence that we need on ground in those moments that can make a tremendous difference. I mean, definitely you should join up to our team and take a training of Zaka when you're thinking, but this is it. This is exactly what we're talking about. How are you a simple thing that you can do, look around, have your eyes open, and guide other people and give over that information to other people. It's tremendous help. Those moments can be a difference of that person. Certain people may be trapped in that building, getting them out, if they're going to live or going to die. And this is what we're talking about. How can we, as individuals, as a team, work together to get and save people's lives?
And as you said before, too, you know, it's in the face of something like that, it's not, I'm, you know, this culture, that religion, et cetera. No, you're human beings, and you're looking to help your fellow human beings at that point. You know, it's not us versus them, it's we.
Right. That's the main thing. It's we. It's us, all of us. Each one of us as individuals and a team, as a group, we can make a difference. We can show them. And that's what sometimes when it comes to terror, is showing how us as united, we can stand together and work against them in a way, showing that, you know, you maybe hit us, but you didn't, you know, conquer us, you didn't get us down. And it's something tremendous to show that life could continue going, and how we can help one another by showing that life is continuing and we are human beings helping one another out.
All right. For some of the people who are listening to our discussion, and you piqued my interest with what your comment about the fact that I should look into this, some of the people who are listening to our discussion today may have a similar thought. But usually people will say, well, wait a minute, what do I need in terms of qualifications or qualities or things like that? What do you say to us?
The main qualification is that you want to help out. You need to be healthy, able to think straight, but that's it. You don't have to have many qualifications. It's any person that wants to help one another, help out his fellow friends, his community, his family. You can just join Zaka, and be part of something tremendous. That if God forbid something happens, you're there. You could be that person that making the difference in the whole difference in saving a person's life. So, like any person, like to take a training or bring to the table certain knowledges that he has or information that he has. You never know how that person can help out in time to come when something goes on. We need his help.
David Rose, who is International Director of Zaka, our guest this hour of our program on The Fan. You mentioned earlier the website. Would you repeat that, please?
Yes, it's www.zaka, that's ZAKA.us. All the information is there, how to contact us, how to be part of Zaka. Go there. Hopefully we inspire you to be part of us and to be make it a better person. Each one of us could be helping one another out.
Very inspiring discussion, and I'll mention, as you mentioned this earlier, Zaka also can use donations. That's something that you can do through the sites as well. David, I thought it would be a very good discussion, and it has proven to be so. I know we've also provided some information that can be helpful for folks listening to us. Thank you very much for joining us on our program. Certainly good luck continued with your work.
Thank you so much for listening to us and giving us the opportunity of giving over the story of Zaka. All the best.
We do appreciate it. Zaka, ZAKA.us. Have a lovely day. Thank you. Well, it is Derek Jeter Day at the stadium. I wonder what Ed Randall's going to have to say about that. Think he might have an opinion or two? I'll have to tune in after 9 this morning. You never can tell with him. Well, we have more to get to on our program this morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.